to be an experience in your life in which you are encouraged, and then when you walk out, you leave excited because of what God has done and what God is going to do in your life. And that's one of my prayers, so I hope you're going to have that experience this morning. And I'm starting a new sermon series this morning, and it's a short one, just 2 messages. Usually I have about 4 to 6 sermons in a series. This morning I just have 2 in this series, this one and next week. And I based it on a verse that I memorized while I was in college, down at California Baptist College. And well, let me kind of give you a little context for that verse. It's Jesus starts his ministry. He's about 30 years old. He goes to Jordan River to get baptized. He's going to get baptized by John, the guy named John the Baptist. Some of you guys know the story. So he goes to the river. He's about 30 years old. His cousin John the Baptist baptizes him. He comes out of the water, a voice from heaven, as a dove descends, says, "This is my son whom I love and I am well pleased with." And then he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. So he dwells to meet God and spend time with God in a wilderness. But anytime you try to spend time with God, maybe this morning, anytime you try to spend time with God, somebody else shows up. Anybody got an idea who else shows up when you want to spend time with God? The devil shows up. Some of you guys know that. You know, you get in your car on your way to church and you got a flat tire, right? You know, you get in the car to go to church, you're out of gas. You know, or the clothes that you wanted to wear aren't ready to wear, or you can't find a parking place. You know, you want an encounter with God, and the devil's up and tempted him a couple of times. Those are all a different message. But after he left the wilderness, he wanted to go back to Nazareth where he was raised. That the news had arrived that John the Baptist had got arrested. And that John the Baptist was arrested. So he decided not to go back to Nazareth. He goes to a town called Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. And he starts preaching around this Sea of Galilee, around the town of Capernaum. He's preaching God's word and he's teaching at the town there. And one day he's strolling down the seashore there, the Sea of Galilee, and he runs into a couple of fishermen. Anybody kind of know the story? He runs into a guy named Peter and his brother named Andrew. It's probably not the first time that he meets Peter and Andrew. They probably had heard him preach. They probably had been around when he was sharing before. And he shows up and he says, talks to these two individuals. And he had these words, and that's what I base this message on. And get your little outline out. In your worship folder, you'll find an outline, a place to kind of fill in some blanks in that worship folder. And so if you just pull that out, you can follow along. And it said this, "Follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to be fishers for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Now, I memorized that when I was in college. "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And immediately they left. That's the kind of the verse I memorized. And that last part, that fishers of men, that's next week, okay? You know, my title of my series is, you know, what if Jesus lived in my house? And so next week, what if Jesus lived in my house? Wouldn't it be an adventure? And what kind of adventure would that be? But this morning, I want to kind of turn it around and say, what would it be like if Jesus came to your house and Jesus visited with you? Well, it happened to somebody in the scriptures. There was a man in the Bible called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Anybody familiar with that story? All right. And so Zacchaeus was a short guy. It's a short story. There's only like 10 or 12 verses in the scripture with this story. But maybe anybody here old enough, don't raise your hand, you don't want to admit it. Anybody old enough remember flannel board stories? Anybody remember flannel board stories? You know, they had the little background and they would slap on these little things, characters to stick on the flannel board, you know. Here's Zacchaeus, you know, here's the tree, you know, and they would slap on all this. And here comes Jesus walking in. And well, we've kind of come past flannel boards today. I got a video for you to watch. Watch this video and see the story of Zacchaeus.
Jesus was going through Jericho, where a man named Zacchaeus lived. He was in charge of collecting taxes and was very rich. Jesus was heading his way, and Zacchaeus wanted to see what he was like. But Zacchaeus was a short and could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. When Jesus got there, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. I want to stay with you today." Zacchaeus hurried down and gladly welcomed Jesus. everyone who saw this started grumbling.
This man Zacchaeus is a sinner, and Jesus is going home to eat with him.
That day, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord,
I will give half of my property to the poor, and I will now pay back four times as much to everyone I have ever cheated.
Jesus said to Zacchaeus, Today, you and your family have been saved, because you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to look for and to save people who are lost.
A little different than the flannel board, isn't it? Times have changed. It's a little different. But that's the story I want us to think about this morning. What had it been like? Well, let me tell you right now, God is here today. You're not up a sycamore tree, but God is saying, I want to go home with you. What do you think? Yeah. I mean, we're not up the sycamore tree. We're not hanging in some tree. But Jesus literally has invited himself to our house. How uncomfortable is that? Yeah, I wonder about that. So I want us to kind of think about Zacchaeus this minute and think about him. Because look at what it says here. I put Luke 19:5 right there. When Jesus got there, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down. I want to stay with you today. How many want to take Jesus out for lunch? Yeah. We're going to go to Taco Bell, Jesus. All right. You know, my favorite, right? You know, I don't know what you like, Jesus, but I like Taco Bell, so I'll take you there. And it's cheap, too. You get two things. Take your pick. Yeah. But what would it be like if Jesus asked to go to our house? But I want you to think about Zacchaeus for a minute, because Zacchaeus is like us. All right? It says this here, 19:7 in Luke. Everyone who saw this started grumbling. The man Zacchaeus is a sinner. Why don't you circle? He's a sinner. And Jesus is going home to eat with him. Everybody, the town got upset. The town got kind of pushed away. Zacchaeus is a sinner. Now, bad news. Come to church to get good news. Well, I got bad news. I tell you this all the time. Guess what? You guys are sinners too. Now, we don't like the word sinner, so let me give you a culturally accepted word. You're messed up. All right? I mean, that, you know, I think all of us sitting here this morning, in this place this morning, are willing to say, you know what, there is a part of my life somewhere, something in my life is messed up. There's some things in my life that just aren't quite right. There's some things in my life that just aren't where they should be, and I mess up. Now, really, the Bible, if you want, the Bible word is sin, okay? That we like, you know, I'm just messed up. Now, some of you are sitting there, well, I'm not that bad. But we're all messed up. Maybe a little bit. Maybe you're like me. I mean, I got a lot of mess. Anybody got a lot of mess? You know, I got a lot of mess in my life. You know, and the people got upset. What's Jesus wanting to go to these people who are messed up? He's going to this house where this guy is messed up. He's not one of us religious. See, I'm in church today. And they're not. They're not in church. They ain't. Some of you are going, I want to join the party. Well, we're going to party in here. You know? Because see, we're the religious people. You know, let me tell you something. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. You know, I've been a Christian since I was 17. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I've been one since I was 17. It's been a while. I still got messes in my life. You know, there's still issues that God is not done working on. And you know, we all have these. Some are bigger, some are smaller, but we all have these. But here's what I want you to know. You're in the right place. I got news for you. There's no perfect people in this place. Now, you might think, you know, maybe you're like me. You know, Mary Poppins sitting here. Two practically perfect people. You know, we're not there, but we're practically, you know, maybe that, but we're all sinners, and Jesus saying, I want to go home with you. How many of us can imagine Jesus coming and saying, I want to go home with you? Can you just picture that? Well, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve that. You know, most of us might say something like, my house ain't ready. I found the poem. Some guy wrote a poem. I'm not. Louise Blanchard Edes? E-A-D-E-S? I'll just read the first part of it to see if it sounds something to you. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give him your nicest room as such an honored guest, and all the food you serve him would be the very best. And you'd keep your and you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is a joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide your magazines or put the Bible where they'd been? Would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard and wish he hadn't uttered the last word, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? You know, I think most of us would be concerned about our house, wouldn't we? You know, is my house ready? Well, here's what I want you to know. It's not that house, it's this house that we need to get ready. See, it's this house that Jesus wants to dwell in. See, it's our lives. And so I just got four things I want to share this morning, kind of from this story of Zacchaeus, that I think can help us get ready for Jesus to spend a day with us. And so I put it this way. If you got your outline out, I wrote it this way. Keep your life clean. All right? Keep your life clean. Now, I want to make sure you notice something. Zacchaeus was a sinner. We are messed up. All right? Yeah. We're all sinners. We're in the same boat. Did Jesus say, okay, Zacchaeus, go clean your life up, get kind of things straight in your life, then I'm going to come and stay with you? Is that what Jesus said? Jesus said, get your life in, Zacchaeus, get everything fixed up, and when you get it all ready, I'll come over to be with you. Jesus went to Zacchaeus when Zacchaeus was all messed up, when Zacchaeus was a sinner. I think we need to understand that, and so we need to try to keep our lives clean. I wrote this verse. Listen what happened after he went to the house, after he had lunch with Jesus, after they had spent time together. Later that day, see, that later that day is really, later that day, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, I will give half of my property to the poor, and I will now pay back four times as much to everyone I have cheated. He said, I'm going to get it straight now. See, after we meet Jesus, we need to get our lives straight. We need to keep our lives clean. Now, how many of you and us clean your house once a week? Just once a week? I have to vacuum more than once a week. You know? Anybody have to? I mean, you know, we got guests coming over Monday night for Bible study. Either Laura or I do it. Get the bathroom cleaned up. I don't want to clean my bathroom up once a week, man. Some things need daily cleaning. Anybody have some daily cleaning chores around the house? Yeah, uh-huh. That's the same way with this house. You know, it's not a one-time, oh, God, I'm with you now, and I've got it all straight, and I got it all worked out, and now it's done. It's a constant battle to keep my house clean, you know? I don't know about you, living in this valley, and it's getting close to almond season. Isn't it wonderful with all that dust in the air? Don't you guys just love it? You know? How many loved it a few days ago, or maybe I think about a week and a half ago, it rained. Anybody walk out and look at your car after it rained? Give me a break. Yeah? Some things take, you just don't clean it once. Well, I washed my car when I got it. Yeah. See, we got to keep our lives clean. Now, God takes us just as we are. Anybody on board with that? I want to make sure you get this. God accepts us just as we are, but here's the thing. There's a but. But don't stay that way. God wants us just as we are. He wants to take this mess that I've made of my life and change it. How do I say this in this church every week? Come on, some of you guys know what I'm saying, right? You need to reach a point in your life where you say something like this. I'm tired of doing things my way, and I want to do things your way. Come to my life and take control. God, I'm tired of messing my life up. I don't know about you. I was 17 when I became a Christian, but you know what? I had a pretty good mess, even though I was only 17. I had accumulated a pretty good mess. I had made some messes in my life, and I'm sure God changed all. Now, I still got some. You know, here's the thing for me. I don't know about you. Most of those messes are gone. I just got new ones. Anybody ever get new ones? You know? Because we're messed up. Now, I'm throwing that word up. You want to know the biblical word? It's called sin. I mean, let's just throw it out there. You know? But we got to work at keeping it clean. We got to work at it. God takes me just as I am, but don't stay there. He took Zacchaeus just as he was. Just was. Sinner, and they're all complaining. Look at who's going. Look who Jesus is going on. Can you believe this? But then God changed everything. He moved. Look at what it says. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today, you and your family have been saved because you are true son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to look for and to save people who are lost." He's the son of Abraham. He's saying, "You're the chosen one." See, when you become a Christian, you become sons of Abraham. Did you guys know that? Because we become part of God's family. Anybody on board with that? We become part of God's family. We're part of his family. We're that sons. We're the daughters. Some of you are daughters. I'm not going to be a daughter. I'll be the son. You guys can be daughters, okay? You know, I know who I am. You know? And so we have this in our lives. See, and God turned it all around. And so when Jesus comes home with you, don't wait. You know, if you're here this morning, don't sit here and say, "Well, you know, I got to get my life straight before I can talk to God. I got to figure some things out." Anybody here hear anybody say that? "I got to figure some things out before I start going to church." I've heard that. I've got to stop doing some things. I got to make some changes before I start going to church, before I start talking to God. You don't have to. You know, you might be, you know, you might feel, you know, well, let me put it this way. You might not be in a sycamore tree, but you are up in some tree right now, aren't you? Some of you are. We'd say the old time, again, maybe I'm just getting old, you know, you're up a creek without a paddle. Anybody been up a creek without a paddle? Jesus wants to fix that mess. Jesus wants to turn that mess around. Jesus wants to work in that mess. And that first step is, you know, hey, we got to start getting things cleaned up. When you encounter God, that's when you start cleaning up, not before. I want to make sure you get that picture. You know, and I mentioned, remember I told you those guys that Jesus met along the Sea of Galilee? Remember he picked up a couple of disciples, you know, Peter and James and John. One of them wrote some books in the Bible. And he wrote the Gospel of John, one of the books. And later on, he wrote a couple of letters. One of the letters he wrote is called 1 John. And I like the way he said this. This is one of the guys that Jesus picked up on the Sea of Galilee. He said this: "If we say that we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves." All right, now if I stood here this morning, now some of you have been with me 34 years, so some of you have been with me a long time. If I stood here this morning and said, "You know what? I'm not a sinner, and I had the last year." Some of you are going to go, "Gary, we've seen you this last year. We know better. Who am I fooling? I'm fooling myself." Yeah. And I love the way John wrote this. If we say we have no sin, we're fooling ourselves. You're only fooling yourself. We know you. No. We know one another. And the truth is not in us. Ooh. But if we confess our sins. Now see, I underline that part. That's an important part to me. If I stand before God and said, "You know, God," that's what Zacchaeus did. You know, he stood up and said, "Man, I've sinned, I've stolen this, I've cheated people, and I'm going to make it right." He confessed his sins. You see the picture? "God, I messed up. I am a sinner. I have messed up." He will forgive our sins. What's he going to do? He's going to forgive us. I love the scriptures. He's going to forgive us because we can trust God to do what is right. He will cleanse us from all wrongs we have done. I love the scriptures. It talks about casting our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember them. Putting our sins as far as the east is from the west. Let me give you some homework. Okay, you guys, get your pen out. Write Psalms 5:1 down. Sometime this week, read Psalms 5:1. The whole thing. It's not verses, okay? I'm not asking you to spend an hour. 5 minutes is what it'd take you. But I guarantee you, if you read Psalms 5:1, 51, you'll see what happened to Zacchaeus can happen to you. That verse 12 there, just kind of give you a hint. That's my favorite verse. David's confessing his sin. That's David confessing his. And he had a whopper of a sin, if you want to categorize sin. He had a pretty good whopper there. He was really messed up. But that verse 12, "Store unto me the joy of thy salvation." I want Christianity to be fun. I'm having fun being a Christian. I don't know about you guys. It's fun being a Christian. I've missed a lot of heartache being a Christian. Anybody else on that one? Yeah, I missed a lot of bad things being a Christian. And I'm not perfect. I still had to pay the price for some stupid stuff. But see, we need to keep our lives clean. We need to stay on top of this. And it's not just this one-time thing that we do. It's something that we constantly do. But see, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. So here's my next point. Keep your eyes open. He wanted to see Jesus. He had a desire to see Jesus. He had heard the stories and heard the rumors. Jesus is coming to town. He heard the stories. Jesus was heading his way. Zacchaeus wanted to see what he was like. But Zacchaeus was a short and could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. He wanted to see. We got to keep our eyes open. And sometimes it takes work. Sometimes we got to work. Anybody struggle to stay awake sometimes? Yeah. Tuesday, I drove over 900 miles Tuesday to pick my wife up, okay? Left at 6 in the morning. Pulling the driveway after 10 o'clock. You think I was tired? My wife wanted to drive. I don't trust women drive. I don't trust my wife's driving. She'll probably look in a minute. Yeah. I drove the whole time. Yeah, propped my eyes up. Okay, God. Yeah. I didn't have licorice, but I tell you what's good when you're driving, sunflower seeds. And soda pop as you're driving. Keep you awake, man. 16 hours of driving. Yeah. We're awake with God. We got to keep our eyes open. We have a leadership meeting in our church, and we get together once a month. And on the agenda is this little phrase: what's God been doing? I want to hear stories from them. How many of us could have a story of what God's been doing? Could tell, God. God worked here, and I seen God in this. How many have seen God lately? See, I think God is always around, but sometimes we're just so busy we don't see him. Anyone? So much going on. We need to keep our eyes open. We need to be looking to see where Jesus is and to see what Jesus is doing and to see what Jesus is up to. And keeping our heart and our mind and all open to him. I like this passage here in Psalms 105:4. Keep your eyes open for God. Watch for his work. Be alert for signs of his presence. How many of you could tell stories? I remember. See, I can remember years ago, I'm driving up Highway 880 over by the Bay Area. Traffic's going crazy. And I'm going up the road, and my daughter, Jennifer, was in the car seat. Tells you how long ago it was. Sitting in the car seat behind me. And I remember this semi-truck. All of a sudden, traffic starts stopping, and this semi-truck starts to tip over. And I'm in traffic, and guess where I could go? I could where? And here's this semi-truck going like this, and it's me and my first child in a car seat. It's like, wow. But all of a sudden, that truck stopped, and it walked back up the other way. You know what I think? I think it's the hand of God. How many of us can have stories like that, where you look at your life, and God does? How many would have a story where you're making some bad decisions, and God says to you and say, you ain't going no more? Anybody ever heard the saying, I give you enough rope to hang yourself? Anybody ever do that one? We need to keep our eyes. I want to encourage you this week. Look for something. Look for God in the midst of your life. Look for God to be moving. Look for God to be about something. Look for God in it. But we got to keep our eyes. I think he's doing something every day. I believe that. I believe God's at work all the time. But are we aware? Are we looking? See, I think we get so busy, so self-absorbed, that we don't see what God is doing. We don't see what God's hands is doing. See? And we get so caught up in our world. See, we get to the point, you know, I want to be happy. I want to be satisfied. You know, a little plastic surgery, some braces. You know, I got to get my nose done. I got my hair cut now. Now I got to get a nose job. Because, you know, you can't tell how bad the nose is. You know. And then I got buck teeth. You know, I loved it. I went to the dentist a couple of years ago, and he goes, well, you know, we can readjust your teeth. You got this major overbite. We can adjust your teeth. I'm 60 years old. You think I want to put braces on now? You know, if I just had this job, if I could wear these clothes, if I lived in this house, you know, if I drove this car, if I made just a little bit more money. Don't we have our eyes on all that stuff in today's world? See, we need to get our eyes off that stuff and get our eyes on God. I like what it said about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus hurried down, and gladly welcomed Jesus. See, true happiness, true fulfillment, true success in life comes when you meet Jesus. Zacchaeus, a wealthy man, a major player in the town, changed everything when he met Jesus, when he was set before Jesus. There's a story, kind of take me to my next point. There was a study we did several years ago, and some of you recognize the story called Experiencing God, written by Henry Blackaby. Maybe some of you did the study. If you haven't done it, it's a great study to do, a really awesome study. And as you go through the book, it's trying to experience God. He has this statement in there, and it kind of feeds on this point, take me to my next. He says, you need to see where God's work and join him. You need to watch and see where God's working and join him. And I think that's kind of where we're at. It says, seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. Then all these other things will be added. And so I want to say this. You need to seek. And you need to watch. And then you need to join God. Because for my next point, I put it this way. Keep your purpose firm. Zacchaeus had to be firm. I look at this. Zacchaeus was committed to see Jesus. Now, you know, I drove to church this morning, and I drove around, and there was no parking, so I drove home. There was no parking. Zacchaeus, the wee little man, couldn't see Jesus. What did he do? Well, I can't see Jesus, so I'm just going to go home. I'll go home and have a stay. Tell me what happened later. Text me what happened at church today. Sometimes, you know, you got to be committed. You got to stand firm. You know, you got to be driven on that purpose. See, I want to make sure you get the picture. I love these phrases. We're planned for God's purpose, formed for God's family, created for to become like Christ, shaped to serve him, made for a mission. See, and we need to see that. And Zacchaeus wrestling with that. This is who I'm supposed to be. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I've been following this. I've been this tax collector, collecting all this money for the Roman government. This is what I thought my purpose in life was. This is what I thought I was supposed to be doing. And all of a sudden, it's changed. It's different. Jesus heading that way. He wanted to see Jesus. He ran ahead. Well, I'll just go see Jesus. Come on. Yeah. You ever go to a parade? Ever try people over a parade? You know, I go to Disneyland all the time. You know what I do? I get to the parade 2 hours early. Got some towels I set down. Saved the place for me and my kids. Because I want to see. You know, he ran. He had to climb a tree. Purpose. It wasn't about all he had at home. It wasn't about all the stuff. It's about seeing Jesus on purpose. He was committed to it. He pursued it. He strived for it. And I want to challenge all of us that God has a purpose for all of us, that God had a plan for all of us. I don't care. You know, I'm going to tell you, some of you are called to be teachers. Some of you in teaching is starting pretty soon, right? Some are called to be tellers at banks. Some are called to be moms in homes. Some are called to be garbage collectors. Is that a calling? Oh, that's a garbage man. Come on. I'm going to tell you. You know somebody I appreciate? My garbage man. If he don't pick it up, it's going to stink. I always tell people, let's see, who's important? The CEO that sets up there or the guy who drives the truck? You know who's important to me? The guy who drives the truck. Everything. There's a purpose for all of us. There's meaning for all of us. There's something for all of us. We're shaped to serve God, and we need to see that. There's a passage that I memorized again when I was a young Christian, and it's some of you, I know some of you know the verses, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Anybody on board with that? Some of you are sitting there going, I have no idea what it is, but I'm going to read it to you, okay? Yeah. But I memorized this as a young Christian. But we stop one verse short. I did it. I knew 8 and 9. But we need to get 10 in there. Listen to what it says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one can boast. We're saved by grace, by believing in God. God takes us. That's Zacchaeus. Didn't say, well, I cleaned my life up, God, now come over to my house. He didn't say, God, I gave all my stuff back, now come to my house. That all happened afterwards. And that's where we use. But here's what I think we need to hear. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to sit around in sour-ass Christians, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Anybody know sour Christians? Don't sit there like you don't know any sour Christian. Now, don't look at me, okay? Yeah. Because some, you know, they get saved and we sit down. I did one time, I should do the message again because I loved it. I had a high chair. You know? Some of you guys remember the high chair? I climbed in the high chair and, feed me, feed me, feed me. Right in the middle of the church. Yeah? See, God called us to what? To serve. To be a part. I am so blessed. I want to thank the church last week. For those who are guests here, for this maybe your first time, I've been at this church 34 years last week. I came in August in 83. I've been here 34 years. I love this place. I love this church. If I had some, you need to know, you want to know something? I feel like a failure. I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm not called to build a building. I want to build people's life. And look, where's everybody at? 34 years. God, what's going on? But I'm going to tell you what, I don't quit. 34 years. God, see, I believe God called me to be a pastor. And I love it. I've had touched lives. I can tell you, I've been at Disneyland. People run up to me and say, Gary, you remember? I've been at Fireball. Anybody know where Fireball is? Cantaloupe Festival. Isn't that an annual event that we all go to, right? Some guy's going, Gary, remember me? I sure do. Ran around with the youth group. So I don't know what impact I'm going to have. But I tell you one thing. I get to be a part of what God's doing. I've seen where God was working, and I've joined him. I'm having a blast. You guys have put up with these, have been here the whole 34 years. I'm sorry. You know, they put up with me. You know, we've done some crazy things. But it's not just here in the church. I'm part of the community. You know, I serve on the school board. I serve on the sanitation board. I've served on all sorts of committees through the county. Part of things that got alcohol out of our park in Salida. You know, you can't have alcohol in our park. You can't drink alcohol in the park. And I served on committees that did that kind of stuff. I sat there and talked with the county council for the county of Stanislaus and say, hey, we need to do this. He goes, no, I don't think we can. And I talked to Nick Blum. Nick Blum's representative. Guess what? I get a phone call saying, hey, Gary, come on down. We're going to pass that resolution. So I go down to the county board meeting, Stanislaus County Board, and they put this ordinance up there, unanimous decision. I stand up to lead. They go, Gary, you want to say anything? I go, I just want to say thank you. I didn't think. I love so. See, you need to have a ministry in the church and a mission in the community. Does that make sense? See, we're called to serve. How many people here, let me ask you, that feel America's on the right path right now? I don't see any hands going up. It's better than it was. How many, our college campuses are doing really good with our kids, right? We have a way to change that. I can change that. I'm going to change it by voting for the right people. Yeah, I vote. You need to know that. I have not missed an election since I was 18 years old. I have voted. But you know what I think have a greater impact on future? Awana. Anybody? To sit across from some kid memorizing the Bible? When you're sitting there with kindergartners? Now, some of you, I'm going to embarrass some of you, all right? When you're sitting across from kindergartners who can tell you the books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? How many here can do that? Don't raise your hand. Don't embarrass those that don't. When they can quote 50 scriptures. I'm having an impact on the future. Vacation Bible School. I love VBS. I'll be involved in VBS. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm tired of dressing up, okay? Those who don't go to VBS, I dress up, okay? I portray Bible characters. I have done it forever. Some of you remember me doing it years ago. I would dress up. It's hard when it's a woman Bible character. I'm going to be a man. I'll pick another character that fits the story. But to sit there with these kids and think about these kids that are 8 years old, 9 years old, and some five that 10 to 15 years from now, they're going to be making decisions. See, I think about these things, you know, in our community. And, you know, but I want to challenge you, find a ministry. God save you to sit there and sour. All right, he saved you to serve. Find some way to plug in. Now, you're going to sit there and say, well, you can't preach. What? I can't preach either. All right, but I'm going to give it a shot. All right? Well, I can't teach. I can't sing. Well, I can't sing either. And I ain't giving it a shot, okay? You know? But there's things we can do. Let me ask you, can anybody fold a piece of paper in here? Anybody? Anybody? Can anybody fold paper? You see that bulletin you have? Somebody has to fold that. Somebody has to stuff that. I appreciate Brenda over here. You look at our planners and look at all. She keeps the things trimmed off the sidewalk. If it was up to me, they'd be dead. We already lose enough. But it'd be worse. You want to do something fun? Walk out the door. Look at the front windows. Got some handprints on them. Anybody wash a window? I can't do anything for you, God. Anybody got hands and arms? You know, there's things we can do. There's opportunities for us. You know, I love potluck. I mean, it was fun with potluck last week. Everybody got involved, picking chairs up, moving there. We've transitioned this side of the church in less than 10 minutes. They eat dinner over there. And they had some good food. You missed it. I think we'll do it again. I think we're going to probably try in November. So, you know, you can already put it on your calendar. But there's things we can do. I want to challenge you to serve. Anybody here got ears? Anybody got ears? Can you hear? Can you hear? Come to Awana and just sit across from kids and let them read and memorize scripture for you. That's all you got to do. Just give me 30 minutes. All I need is 30 minutes on Thursday night. You can come at or 7:30, there's a group, or even 6:30, there's a group you could sit with and listen to these kids. That's all. Just sit there and listen. Can you write so you can put your initials down in the date? We'll even tell you the date. You don't have to worry about that. But just sit there and listen to a child. I'm telling you, there's no greater joy for me to sit across from my grandson who's in kindergarten and have him quote scripture to me. Yeah, as a grandfather, I'm going to tell, oh man, there's a joy there. But it's not just my kids, because some of your kids, I was there when they were born. And to sit across from them and hear them quote scriptures. Knowing that 10 years down the road, they're going to be like me sitting here and say, I quoted this when I was in Vacation Bible School. I didn't do it in Vacation Bible School, so I wasn't in church then. I can talk about when I went to college and memorized the word. So I want to challenge you. Find a place to plug in. You need a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. Is that okay for me to say it that way? You need a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. We were created as God's workmanship to do good service. And I want to encourage you to do that service, to be a part of what God is doing. And here's this one. And this one's important to me. You need to know this one's important. This verse, I read every Monday, just so you know, all right? This is my Monday morning verse. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I guarantee you, tomorrow morning, I ain't going to like it. I'm done. I'm tired. I laid it all out Sunday. I even took a nap Sunday afternoon. Don't worry, I'll take a nap this afternoon. But don't. Find that place to plug in. I'm going to encourage you. Be a part of the community. I want to see Christians involved at Little League over here. I love our Little League here in Salida. Sportsmanship's a major emphasis in our Little League. That's what I love about our Salida Little League. They meet in our church. I loved it when they did opening day and I got to do the prayer and they said, here's our pastor, Gary, our pastor. None of those guys are in this church, but I'm their pastor. Community, guys. Find a place to plug in. Don't be lacking that zeal. There's opportunities for us. So I want to encourage you, if you have an idea, just tell me. Whatever you can do, tell me on the way out or call me up or text me or email. It's all right there in the bulletin. You can have it all there. Let me know what you want to do. I'll find a place for you. We'll find a place for you. You don't have to sit up here and sing, although I'm going to tell you, I appreciate these because I can't sing. I really appreciate them. And I appreciate others. You know, I tell you it's fun because sometimes when Delmyra and Jacob stand there, Delmyra folds my bulletins for us and stuffs them. She'll come in and she'll sit in the office and we'll be talking about other things. And she'll sit there. She'll just pick them up. I didn't even ask her to do it. She just does it. So I want to encourage you, find a place to plug in. There's opportunities. And so you got to clean up. You got to keep your eyes open. You got to serve with a purpose. And the last one I put this way. Keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. I look at my notes here. I had more things I could tell you about serving. Anybody know? Anybody have a camera? Let me do that one. We had potluck. I don't know. Anybody take a picture last week of our potluck? I don't think anybody took a picture. We used to have a camera person in our church. Just bring your camera on Sundays and take pictures. It makes history for us. There's other things. But we need to focus on Jesus. Look at what it says. Jesus was heading his way, and Zacchaeus wanted to see. He was focused on seeing Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. He had to see Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. Zacchaeus. Now, what kind of man was Zacchaeus? He was a sinner, right? That's what it said. He was messed up. But he was the tax collector, probably well-loved in town, right? Everybody likes the IRS, right? They're my best friends. So probably not much friends. But can you imagine a wealthy individual, status in the community, a leader? Can you imagine? I'm going to go climb a tree. Look at those silly Zacchaeus. Idiot now. He was focused on, none of that mattered. It didn't matter anymore. It didn't matter what people said. It didn't matter what people thought. He was so focused on Jesus, all that went away. I don't care if I make a spectacle of myself. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to be a part of what Jesus is doing. I'm going to make a spectacle. I don't care. I'm going to stand here. He didn't change all of it. See, we focus on us today. See, we live in a world that it's all about me. Anybody in that world? It's all about me. I wrote some of these down here this way. Have it your way. Here's what our advertisers tell you. Have it your way. Obey your thirst. We do it all for you. You deserve a break today. You're worth it. Anybody? It's all about us. See, I want to challenge us that it's not about us. I got news for you. Life's not about us. It's about him. And so we got to stay focused on Jesus. Look again at what it says. Later that day, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, I will give half of my property to the poor, and I will now pay back four times as much to everyone I have ever cheated. None of this matters anymore. All that wealth I accumulated, all that stuff I have, none of that matters anymore. What matters is Jesus. What matters is God. It's him, and it's on him, and it's about him. And our world keeps telling us it's all about us. Learn yourself. Figure yourself. You know, I got to figure myself out. Anybody ever heard somebody say that? before I do anything, I got to figure myself out. You know, I got to understand who I am, and I got to figure who I am, and you know, I'm trying to put myself together. And they say things like this. Here's what I want to tell you: as long as you're trying to figure yourself out, you never will. You never will. The way to figure out is to figure God out. Look at what it says. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you will find both yourself and me. That's kind of counterculture to our world, isn't it? If you just focus on you, you will never understand you. But when you focus on God, not only do you get to learn about God, you get to learn about yourself. I want to challenge you with that. Go against everything our society says to quit thinking about yourself. Zacchaeus did. He didn't think about being messed up. He didn't think about being silly. He didn't think about standing out. It didn't matter about any of that. I have to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. So he ran and climbed a tree to see Jesus. And when he seen Jesus, he knew who he was. He said, I've cheated people. That's how we learn who we are. I'm a pretty good guy. I'll be honest with you. I'm a good guy. I treat people right. I love people. You know, if you want a good standard from human terms, you can look at me. No, I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty. But the problem is, you shouldn't be looking at me. Who should I be looking at? Who should I focus on? Now, when I put myself up against Jesus, boy, I am messed up. I am a mess. There are issues. And so when I get that, and then I know who myself is. And then God begins to fix things. Begins to make things right. God takes things out of my life. God puts things in my life. Anybody have those experiences? As God works on you? See, and that's what happened to Zacchaeus. So I want to challenge you with that this morning. That we're not up a tree. We're in a church. And it was my prayer that you would come in and encounter Jesus, Zacchaeus. You didn't have to climb the tree this morning. You just had to walk through a door. Maybe you had to find a parking place. But you just had to walk through the door and encounter Jesus, just like Zacchaeus. And he encouraged him. He went to his house. Come down, Zacchaeus. I want to go to your house. I want to tell you right now, God wants to go with you when you leave this place. All right? He's inviting himself. Well, that's discourteous. I'm glad he did. And he hurried down and went to his house. I want to challenge you this morning. Jesus wants to take you just as you are and make you a masterpiece. We are a master in the hands of God. He wants to form us. I want to challenge you this morning. Will you let Jesus go home with you? Will you take him with you? It might be your first time. Maybe you've never made a decision for Jesus. And I'm not talking, well, I shook the preacher's hand, or I was baptized as a baby, or, you know, I'm trying hard. I'm glad I'm not like Zacchaeus. Well, I'm glad you're not either, but that ain't good enough. You got to reach a point in your life where you say something along the lines, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take them. Do that. Take him home with you. Take him out those doors with you every day. And then keep your life clean. Keep your eyes open. Stay firm on purpose, a ministry and a mission, and focus on Jesus. Does that sound okay? Because if you do, I like this verse. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil. I came, that's Jesus, that you may have life and have it abundantly. I'm going to tell you, I have an abundant life. Now, I have a problem-filled life. And sometimes that's an abundance of problems too. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. Because I have a joyful, purposeful, meaningful life in the hands of God. do you? Will you take him home today? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you above all for your grace and your mercy and your love, that you invited us to go home with you. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you feel like, you know, I've messed up and I just need to get it straight. You know, like I say, maybe, you know, you accepted Jesus long ago, or maybe you just need to accept him right now. You want me to pray for you that as you go out, Jesus will go with you. Would you shoot your hand up? Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you've asked to go home with each and everyone in this place. And some have acknowledged it. They're coming down off the tree, coming down out of the world, Lord, and turning their face towards you. Lord, pick them up and walk with them and encourage them. Speak to them as you spoke to Zacchaeus, that they may find peace and joy and an abundant life. Empower them, that your spirit in them. For this world is not a fair world. This world is not an easy world. But the power of God can deliver us and walk with us. So I ask for your spirit to empower them, encourage them, and strengthen them. And for all of us, Lord, thank you for inviting us. Thank you for asking to go home with us. In Jesus' name, amen.